You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Club, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.
Surprise about Oliver Stone's film Snowden is that it took him this long to make it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if there was ever a topic that screamed, Oliver Stone, please make a movie out of me.
This is the logical choice, the one and only choice for director and, you know, for this project.
Yeah, although I worried about him a bit after W, where he was actually of nice to George Bush, and I was like, you despise George Bush. What are you doing?
And I never thought Oliver Stone would be the type of person to be intimidated. I thought he was intimidated.
I did too.
Going toward, I mean, he made it so much so that it felt like a TV movie in a way.
It felt wishy-washy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, are you actually going to say anything about this guy, or are you just going to dance around it?
But then also at the time, he really wasn't in a very creatively, you know, exciting place.
Yeah.
And he hadn't been for a while.
Yeah.
Alexander wasn't that.
I think the last film by him I out and out really enjoyed was Any Given Sunday.
Me too. I loved U-Turn as well before that.
U-Turn was pretty good. Nixon was pretty good. I mean, he was on a great run before that. Nixon, Natural Born Killers, JFK, The Doors, Born on the 4th of July. I mean, the guy had a lot. When he was hot, he was really hot and had a lot of good films. But he's been fallow for a while. I mean,
I think Savages was decent.
It was okay.
But, yeah,
it was decent. But it was like not didn't feel anything like an Oliver Stone film either.
Wow.
This is probably his like most Oliver Stoney film since JFK. Yeah. You know?
And at the same time, it feels like it's not, you know, borrowing, you know, doesn't have his traditional sort of stamp on it as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's almost reverent, as near as I can tell, to like what the facts of what actually happened from what I do know. I mean, I watched Citizen Four. I know a lot of people love that movie. I was like, I'd rather read about this stuff than watch this because it's really tedious watching a guy just talk into a camera for 2 hours.
Yeah, I agree. I did follow this story off and on throughout the news. And so I, you know, would see, you know, when this happened, when that happened, when he was found and everything. I love the way he sort of transformed those events and made them incredibly cinematic, incredibly compelling.
Well, that's the thing. I think, like, Oliver Stone felt like I did, which was like, man, this guy's story is really important. It's just your average person that should be aware of what's happening is not going to sit through Citizen Four.
Uh-uh.
It's going to be too boring for them. So Stone's like, well, we got to give this guy, we got to bring him to life. We got to give him, like, bring out the elements of him that make him human. In this particular case, Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays Edward Joseph Snowden. And the part they try to humanize him the most with is with his love interest, played here by Shailene Woodley, who, ironically, even though the idea, like, the stuff with making a more human in of itself works, I felt like she was the weakest link in the film.
I thought she was quite lovely.
Yeah?
You know, her performance was great. She did bring out another side of him, you know, as an actor and as a character. I thought that that worked really well. The only moment I didn't think was that strong was when they were breaking up in Japan.
Yeah, well, that was the worst of it.
Yeah, it was so trite.
Well, they do a lot of the stuff that's just frustrating. We're like, yes, I know this stuff happens, but like as an audience member, watch where it's like, you know, he works for this fucking CIA and can't tell you anything.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, it burns up to a head to you, and you fucking have a fit and get all shrill and run out. And I'm like, you know what you were getting into when this relationship started.
At the same time, she hung in there for a better part of a decade.
True.
And, you know, she can't say that she didn't accept that sort of life, but that everyone has a breaking point.
But just some extent, the film gives her this character short shrift by being really most of what we know about her is just that she's the element in his life that made him from who originally was a very dyed-in-the-wool conservative, all pro-patriotic American, to being the one who, like, not only him seeing what was going on with the CIA, the degree to which everybody that they were spying on everyone, not just the people they were supposed to be spying on, and, you know, her constantly talking about, you know, and Stone himself constantly banging the gavel of like
Stone's
it's patriotic to protest the government, you know, which I totally agree with.
She taught him how to like not take everything as gospel.
And, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like definitely if Stone has one thing to say about it, it's that stop thinking patriotism means accepting everything the government says is automatic and does is automatically good.
I think, you know, one thing about Stone that's been, he's been accused of so many times is, you know, just being so, you know, everybody's bad, you know, pick a side and pick my side sort of thing. Yeah. I think with Snowden, what he did here was he really didn't necessarily ask you to pick a side, even though there's only one side you could really go to. But he really just wants you to be aware. He just doesn't want you to, like Snowden, just to take everything at face value and to think that you're safe. And
He connects an emotional resonance to how terrifying this stuff is by making Snowden the avatar for the audience themselves, who go into this with a relative sort of, well, I don't know, opinion to, wow, god damn.
Yes.
You know, now I tend to politically fall on the side of like, absolutely, I think Edward Snowden is a major hero.
Yeah,
and I think 100 years from now, he's going to be celebrated as just that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is now we still have the thing is like, he's the one who broke the paradigm of like, hey, I don't care if it was a secret. The point is y'all are breaking the law more and more and more, and you're convincing yourself it's okay because you're in charge.
Yeah.
You know?
You're it's all under the cloak of safety.
Yeah.
For the greater good.
And maybe to some extent it is, but to what at what cost is the problem? I mean, this is exactly what George Orwell talked about, you know, which is not paranoid to say. I mean, in fact, there's no paranoia in this film at all. Everything in here is provable fact.
He becomes paranoid understandably paranoid after a while, but
not like JFK, where there's a lot of speculation is just based on you know, just is just speculation.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is all based on stuff that like we know actually is true.
Yeah.
At its worst and most Oliver Stone paranoid, there's a sequence where like his sort of the guy who is that actor? Risa Fans.
Oh my god!
Who's great?
So unrecognizable.
There's a sequence where you know after he's clearly Snowden is starting. I mean, he's already kind of decided that he's going to turn. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene where he's being interviewed by him with this giant screen, and he gets all close up to it. And it's a total nod to 1984.
Yes, absolutely. Can't get any more Big Brother than that.
Yeah.
Without question.
Exactly. And I almost felt like it was too much, you know, where it was like, we already get it. You don't need to visually cue us to that extent.
I think he really needed to get it because he was still, I think, torn by that at that point. And so this was the guy that he trusted completely.
Yeah.
You know, and this was his mentor. This was, you know, got him to where he was then. And so if he finally sees him as this big boogeyman monster, you know, that's a moment that needed to happen, and we, as an audience, needed to see him have that revelation.
Now, the context that they've set up for this film for telling the story is that he's met up with a famous documentarian played by Melissa Leo, who's a real life person, Laura Poitras.
I cannot
Poitras. Yeah. I'm not sure what you're saying, she does look exactly like her. Wow. actually did do an interview with Snowden.
Yeah.
So they set up with her and with Zachary Quinto and Tom Wilkinson as the people who are like, okay, we met up with him in Hong Kong under a veil of secrecy. They show up in the hotel room. He puts all their cell phones in the microwave. Is like, because it blocks you with Jeffries. I knew that one.
I did not. See, I am the kind of person that should have been watching Snowden and you know, should take everything into account.
Like, and so it's him telling the story. So it keeps going back with the chapter stops to go and talk to them.
Can I say that I love that framing device. Mm-hmm. I was afraid, oh my god, please don't let this bog the movie down, because you know, the most exciting part is leading, you know, how he, you know, his journey leading to where he got to. But I think the framing device was so well done.
Agreed.
It's so compelling in its own right. And even there's the one two scenes with Julie Richardson as the editor, one of the editors of The Guardian, and she's arguing with Zachary Quinto, who plays another journalist, and about whether to publish or, you know, to publish now, publish later, and that it's so explosive, and just that few minutes. that you always forget that, yeah, it's just a simple framing device.
The framing device has its own sense of like of drama and necessity for speed and action. Yeah.
That's
you know?
Where the real thriller and tension comes from.
Yeah, fear of getting caught.
Yeah.
I thought this whole thing in general was about 1,000 times more scary or thrilling than the last Jason Bourne film was, and this is all true, you know?
Yes.
And it's not like this is set up to be a spy film in as much, but it still gets that sense of tension just perfect. Mm-hmm. You're first rooting for him to start to see the truth and realize what it is, and you're scared as it starts playing out and giving more and more, and get scared for him as you're like, as once he comes to the realization, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
This is the true role of a patriot, is to expose evil inside its own government.
So,
you know?
Not self-serving.
Yeah. Not at all.
At all. Yeah. I mean, he wants to do this because he wants people to know.
Yeah. The guy has taken no money for doing any of this.
Yeah.
You know,
He's risking everything. He can never go home.
Yeah. He gave up his relationship and his family and everything because he thought this was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing this movie does so well, is humanize him to a point where you totally believe that this guy is the guy who would do that.
And I think in that, that's another sense in why Stone was the perfect person to direct it, because Stone is really great. Yeah, everyone credits him with being, you know, really looking into worlds or that we don't know about conspiracies we might not take into consideration. He is really good at looking at an individual that's been mythologized and built up and getting to the core of them. He did that solo with Jim Morrison in The Doors.
Oh, yeah.
And with JFK. Nixon. Yeah. With Nixon.
Yeah. Nixon. Excellent. So, Anthony Hopkins nailed Nixon. Yeah.
Yes. And so, and here he does it again.
Yeah.
You know, because Snowden for the longest time has been painted in so many different ways, and people thought he was an enemy. People thought, you know, he was this.
Well, people don't know what to think because there's so many conflicting reports, and the media has multiple different takes on him depending on which day you tune in, you know.
Yeah.
And they seem kind of scared of the government themselves. I mean, even Barack Obama, who is like been the liberal like hero in the White House for the last 8 years, has been like, no, we need to get this guy.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, something is definitely rotten in Denmark.
Uh-huh.
If like even like the most liberal guy in the White House is like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah. Like, calls him a hacker at one point, didn't he?
Yeah.
Just a hacker.
When you work for the government, you're a white hat hacker. When you stop, you're a black hat hacker. Also, a really small role, but once again, I love my man Timothy Olyphant. I'm such a big fan of anything
in. Yes,
he has a great role as a guy who briefly mentors him as if for field work until he's like, oh, we have to do shitty things to people in field work?
But he's
just so naive. It's almost adorable.
He's also one of the most horrific people in the film because he's the type of sort of like opportunist that does exist in government that you're afraid does exist. And, you know, he is like the sort of monster.
Of course they exist.
Yeah.
Like manipulating people so they can get them to a position to what they want, but to get leverage over them, no matter what it means that they have to do it, you know, like however scammy. And you're just like, and this guy, like Snowden, who's just such a moral human being, you know, he's so incredibly moral. That's like the biggest core of who he is. Confronting that part, that's his first real break of like, wait, what?
Absolutely.
This is something that we do?
I love that Stone painted him as someone who's always an observer and never let himself get completely lost in that world. He was always curious about it, but he was always observing it. He was never really, you know.
As they kept saying, always just wants to serve his country until he found out there was no way to serve his country under the current way.
Or this was the best way to serve
his country was to expose what people who were ruining his country were doing.
Was to tell his country the truth.
Yeah. I mean, once again, all of this is a matter in terms of our take on the situation is definitely a matter of opinion, because there are strong opinions to the alternative. I just think they're wrong, personally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think for me, this movie was like, it was making much more palatable the story and the facts behind what was going on in a way to watch it and really appreciate the depth of what it all means than Citizen 4, which to me, like I said, was like reading a talking head document.
It
was just very, very dry.
We should point out there's so many great you know, character actors.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage has a wonderful little role.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, you're not slumming it for like 2 seconds. It's so great.
There's a sequence in here where you meet Nicolas Cage, who's teaching at the Academy, at CIA Academy, and he's like a code breaker type guy. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting in a room with like the Enigma machine and the original Cray, and I'm just like, I'd fucking kill to be in that room and get to play with that
shit. Another day at the office for him,
It's like, that's so cool. Sure, Neal Stephenson is going to see this movie and just be like, want to touch.
But then you got Julie Richardson was great, like I said before, and especially in her second scene when she's just, you know, arguing with Zachary Quinto, who's also great. And
although I will say Scott Eastwood was once again as wooden as he always is.
This is the best he's been. This is the best he's been.
He's playing kind of like Snowden if he had never been clued in, who is still just kind of dumb, like, not dumb, but, you know, he's not dumb. He's a tech guy, but he's, like, absolutely drank the Kool-Aid 1,000%. And he just doesn't add anything to it other than sort of resembling that dark Snowden.
Type of I see that.
I just don't think he did anything with it. And once again, I just don't care for him as a performer.
Yeah, I do agree with the wooden aspect to an extent, but I think this is the least wooden we've ever seen.
Possibly so. Yeah. And even Edward Snowden himself, who makes a brief cameo in here
How
as
you
himself.
Feel about that? Because I thought that was a little bit too, like, American, you know,
felt it was
too precious for me.
It was precious, but I also felt this film, which is kind of deeply emotional in its way, and deeply about what patriotism is, I thought it was almost important to give him to confront the man himself.
I agree, but I think that's also the only time that Stone really takes a side.
Yeah.
It's because when he has Snowden in this, you know, wonderful, like, movie lights and, you know, with the glorious music playing in the background. Yeah. And I think that's the only time when
everything but harps and zithers. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Until then, he's just saying, look, this is this guy's story. This is what he found out. He thought you all should know.
Yeah.
If you think he was right or wrong, it's up to you.
Yeah.
But I think when Snowden,
I don't know if Stone was ever saying it's up to you.
I think he was.
Really?
Compared to like something like JFK or, you know.
But I mean, like, even so, his opinion is pretty strong and upfront.
Yeah.
Here. You know, I mean, like I said, he just says over and over and over again about his message about what patriotism should be, which is definitely on the side of Snowden. I don't feel like there was any dilly-dallying for him about whether what he did was right or not.
See, I don't know. I just think he told this guy's story. I don't think he said, you know, I don't think he built him up as, you know, particularly, you know, as an out-and-out hero.
Mm-hmm.
Not until the end. Not until the real Snowden came in.
Yeah.
For me, personally.
But, I mean, that to me was just an exclamation point on something that had 9 exclamation points before.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But anyway, yeah.
Can I also say that I loved his PSA in the beginning?
With the
cell phone.
Oh yeah. That was Oliver Stone comes in the beginning with the don't talk in the theater thing, but the reasoning being because they're watching you through the phones, and you're like, technically that is true.
Yeah.
Doesn't that drive you crazy to know that, like, all that stuff that sounds like it's just out of a bad spy movie or paranoid people on the internet is absolutely 1,000% true, that it's not that hard. It's not that hard at all to hack someone's phone or laptop, and the light doesn't come on from your camera or anything, and they're watching and listening to everything you say.
It does.
That's not science fiction. That's not even hard to do. No.
That's what I think must have just... Why he did what he did. He could not live that way. He personally could not live that way. And he couldn't take anybody, you know.
The one point in here I thought was raised at all that Stone never really answers to what I thought. Like I said, I feel like he's really 100% on Snowden's side. But he does bring up a question he never totally answers, which is, look, for Shailene Woodley's character's point, she at one point says, why do I care if they're watching me? I don't have anything to hide. And the character's like, everybody has something to hide. No. Just don't think that's generally true. I mean, for one thing, if you're not somebody who's ever really going to care that much about politics or anything like that one way or the other, you know, you're just living your life, going about your day. Mm-hmm. The government has no reason to give a shit what kind of porn you're into or whatever.
I mean, what would they look if they found all
like,
that
stuff? Sure, all that stuff might be on record. Like, in case you did decide to start, like, talking to terrorists or something, or found out secret information about the government you were going to give the newspaper. But for 99.99% of the people in the world, that's not relevant at all.
Yeah.
But, I mean, ultimately it is. It's not just a privacy issue. It is indeed the principle of the thing.
Do you think that the majority of those people who feel like, well, I've got nothing to hide, will act sort of apathetic toward the film?
I don't know. But I think they'll see the point of the other side.
Yeah.
You know, those who are like completely dismissive will at least go, okay, well, I at least know what you're talking about now. Because like I said, I still feel like that is for a lot of people, that's going to be a valid point. They'll go like, you know, they say in here at one point, it's been repeated many times, most Americans would give up freedom for safety. And I think that's true for a lot. If not even most Americans, probably
would.
That is
true for a lot of them, absolutely.
But I think so much of that supposed safety, you know, or danger that we're in is nothing but media blitz.
It is. No, it's completely amped up, completely built up and, you know, fabricated and whatnot. I do want to ask you something. How did you feel about Levitt's performance?
I thought he made a strange vocal choice.
Yes.
Especially when we actually see Snowden. You're like, he didn't sound anything like that.
I thought it was... He alters his voice so much. He's, you know, not completely.
It's not even really an accent. It's just he kind of lowers it like this.
Yeah,
he talks in a weird sort of
very sort of like pronounced sort of dialect. Yeah.
I'm like, it didn't irritate me while it was going on. At first, I'm like, what is he doing?
It irritated me less as it went.
Yeah,
on.
I'm just like, well, okay. There's nothing. It doesn't sound fake. It just we know that's not what JoJo Levy sounds like.
I think it was like
but why did he do it? Was the question? Because Edward Snowden doesn't sound a thing like.
No,
that.
He doesn't. And I just, for me, it was on the level of like bad dubbing.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just.
It was a weird choice.
Yeah, very much so. And it was distracting. And thankfully, the material is so much more involving than.
Very strong.
But yeah, it was just. Ugh, that's the only glare that I have with the film. And those.
Going into my final thoughts, I think people who are hyper familiar with Snowden and everything that happened and are very pro Snowden might be a little bored by this, actually. Are going to go, you're not really showing me anything I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what make these films gut punches are is really the effectively making you really realize that. The degree to which this is important and all these things that are going on, mixing that, you know, with a spoonful of sugar of the humanism of him and all. But I think a lot of people who are like, you know, those people who are like Citizen 4 is the best documentary of the last 10 years. Those people are going to see this and go, I'd rather just watch Citizen 4. All right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. This is a very pop movie, you know, in a lot of ways. It's very made for consumption by the masses.
In the way it's made. But,
absolutely. But I did really enjoy it. And I think for the type of movie it is, it's excellent. I think it needed to be made this way.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this. There are flaws to it, no question. And one of which, the big one, is, like I said, weird vocal choice by Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Absolutely.
But overall, I really enjoyed it. And I give it 8 out of 10 times the government listened to what we just said.
Okay, perfect. I likewise enjoyed this film. I was not sure I would. I think I disagree with it in the sense that I think people who love Snowden will probably see this as a fitting tribute to him. You know, the type of film that should have been made about him if Hollywood was going to make a film about him. And I also think that Stone is the person to make that film because he is so good at, delving into worlds such as this and, you know, exposing them, you know, just putting them on display. But I also think he's really great at, getting into individuals that have been sort of built up or, you know, mythologized. And showing, you know, their core. And he does that with Edward Snowden. I think everyone's great in it. I don't like Levitt's voice in it from the get-go. I hate it less as you go on. But I think this film just gives people who were casual, you know, watchers of the news when this was happening, the facts. And I think he does let them make up their own minds about whether or not what he did was right. And how, you know, because this movie, this subject matter relates to everybody. Everybody's going to be looking at themselves thinking, well, what's my take on this? How does this affect me if I was being spied on and whatnot? But I think it's solid. I think it's very cinematic. I think it works on every level except for the Snowden cameo at the very end. I probably give it 8 Rubik's Cubes out of 10.
Yeah. Every time I see a Rubik's Cube, I feel a little well of frustration inside my chest.
Yeah.
Because I was just never one of those people who could figure that shit out.
I know. I'm like, I think that's never going to be.
I'm just not one of those people. And he's like one of those guys who can solve it without looking at it.
Yeah. Justin Bieber can solve one.
Yeah. Justin Bieber can solve a Rubik's
Cube? Yeah, I watched him on James Corden.
Well, now and I feel sick to my stomach.
He, James Corden gave him one. He's like, oh, yeah, here you can do it in under a minute. He's like, yeah. So, and he does it. And I think, oh, great. Well, I'll just check out now.
And you see, like, in the movie, at one point, they hand him the one that's like the super mega fucking just for guys with Asperger's Rubik's Cube.
Yeah,
you
I
know?
Couldn't start anything else in that scene.
What
I was like,
the fuck? Yeah, and it's like 30 cubes a side and two colors per side. I'm like, nah, you can go fuck yourself just for making
that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, you can spy on that guy. Yeah. That guy's probably talking to terrorists.
Enjoy your Rubik's Cube. No one's going to be friends with you if you can solve that.